know this morning that your name is powerful, Lord. Your name is wonderful, Lord. Your name is above any and every name, Lord. And we worship you this morning because of who you are and because of what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord. That you shed your blood so that we can have eternal life, Lord. If we would but trust in you, Lord, make you our Lord and Savior of our lives, Lord. That we will be able to be with you for eternity, Lord, for 10,000 years and beyond and beyond, because of your beautiful name. Lord, we love you and we thank you this morning for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we will be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, and we are finishing up, and Paul is more or less wrapping up his letter to the Galatians, talking to them, you know, about what is the only way to be saved, and that is through grace. It's grace plus nothing. So we trust in Jesus Christ. We don't add nothing to it. We can't add anything to it. All we have is Jesus. Because his name is wonderful, we worship him. Because his name is powerful, we worship him this morning. Because of what he has done on the cross of Calvary, we can be saved this morning. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In John, Jesus tells us, you know, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So if this morning you think that you can add anything to it, that you can go in your life and you say, I can do good enough, I can read my Bible enough, I can pray enough, I can visit enough, I can witness enough, I can do all these things enough, it is not enough. Jesus is the only thing that is enough this morning for you in your life. So I pray this morning that you have accepted Jesus because what he did on the cross, not because of what you have done in your life. So we need to worship him this morning and just thank him for all that he has done for us. Because we as Christians, and Paul has talked about this so often, you know, throughout even this small, short book, he talks about, you know, that we have to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Because the flesh will lead you astray. That is who we once were. That is our sinful nature. And what is drives us to do the things that are against God. And we need to live in the Spirit because the Spirit comes and lives inside of us whenever we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we need to follow him on a daily basis and allow him to work in our lives. The Holy Spirit is here with you today. People ask, you know, well, you walk in the building and you can feel the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not reside in this building. The Holy Spirit resides within us. Who brings the Holy Spirit in here? The Holy Spirit comes in here with you and me. And it's how we are going to interact, how we are going to treat, you know, the Holy Spirit this morning is what you're going to get out. You ever heard the phrase, what you're going to get out, what you put in. You're going to get out of the service. You're going to get out of the message what you put into it. If you come in this morning desiring to grow closer to the Lord, I wasn't here last week. I didn't get to preach, so y'all might get a double dose this morning. I wasn't here last week, so, you know, we bring the Holy Spirit in. And we desire for him to do something in our lives. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to do something. He's going to do something miraculous, bigger than what we can ever imagine and what we can ever think. But if we want to live in the flesh, Monday through Saturday and expect the Lord to bless us on Sunday, you have missed the mark. It's quiet. If you expect the Lord, let me say it again because y'all must not have heard that. If you expect the Lord to bless you on Sunday, but you live like the world Monday through Saturday, you have missed the mark and you're not going to experience what the Holy Spirit has for you. If you want to bring the Holy Spirit in with you, if you want to receive something on Sunday, I will tell you what you need to do. You need to start on Sunday. You need to pray. You need to read God's Word. You need to worship Him on a daily basis and look for what the Lord has for you in your prayer closets, at home, in your cars. Man, we drive down the road. You know, I have a 3-minute commute to work, but some of y'all have a 30-minute commute. Some of you have an hour commute to work. Some of you drive all the time. You have a lot of time to spend with the Lord that you can just spend with Him. You know, it's all right to do something. It's all right to turn your radio off in your car and just spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, I need some alone time with you. Folks, we need some alone time with the Lord. No distractions around us. Turn the cell phone off. Turn the radio off. Is there some good radio? You know, you can listen to the Message or to K-Love. Great music. But sometimes you need to turn that off. And you need to hear from the Lord. You need to talk to Him. And you need to listen to what He has to say, because we are a society that likes to do a lot of talking, but not a lot of listening. We need to listen to what the Lord has for us. Because that's what is important. He knows what's in our hearts. And He knows, you know, what we are going to say to Him. He knows that, and He wants us to talk to Him. But He also wants to talk to us. And He wants to guide our hearts. And I will tell you this also, and I've experienced this firsthand, and I know some of you have also. The closer you are to the Lord, the louder His voice is to you. And the further you are away, the fainter the voice. You have to say, what, Lord, what did you say? You can't hear me. Draw close to Him, and He will draw close to you. It's something that you need to do this morning, because we are all sowers in our life. We are going to reap what we sow, good or bad. And that's what people always think, consequences. Consequences are always bad. No, they're not. Man, there are good consequences. I tell you, you spend time with the Lord and you grow closer to Him. That is a consequence of spending time with the Lord, is that you grow closer to Him. That is a good consequence in your life. You work hard. You study hard. Man, you do all this studying, you know, for a test that you have coming up. Man, and you sit down for that test, and you just go, man, I know that. I know that. I know that. I know that. And you get excited because, man, you know all the answers because you have studied. And studying, the passing the test and doing well on it, is a direct consequence of your studying for that test. Man, there are consequences in our life for living for the Lord. Because every believer is a sower. Every believer is a sower. What you plant in your life today will grow into the harvest tomorrow. You are planting something in your life. You're planting something, whether good or bad. And it could be people around you. It could be your family members. It could be your classmates. It could be your co-workers. You know, in your life, you're planting something in their life. And I'm speaking, you might want to move back the road this morning, Brother Jeff. day. He said, I've been spit on before. So, but we this morning, we are planting something, we're sowing something. And if you look throughout Scripture, they love to use the farming illustrations because that's what they know. That's what they knew at that time. And we know it too. We know what to sow is. We go out there, man, in the spring of the year. Man, probably one of my favorite things, some purple peas.
Yes, sir.
Man, you go out there and you till up the garden, you prepare the soil, you get it ready, boy. You go out there and get you some rows, man, and you go down there and you drop them purple peas, them dried ones up in them rows, and you cover them up. Put a little fertilizer on there. Put a little water. What happens? They grow up. They multiply. They quadruple. Man, they just are 100-fold, 1,000-fold of what you have planted. And you get out there, man, and you see this time of, man, harvesting that. Man, and then the work starts, man, because you planted and they grew, then you pick, man, you have to work. It's called discipleship in your life and in other people's life. You have to pick, and what do you have to do? You have to turn your fingers purple, don't you? Ooh, that's just a result. You just know there's something good coming after that. Whenever you get them purple old peas and you shell them out, boy, and you get them in that big pan. Boy, you stick a few pieces of bacon in there, some bacon grease, let them cook all day, and you get to enjoy the fruit that you have sown. And the fruit that God sow, or that we sow, you know, in our lives, you know, the spiritual fruit is salvation. Man, it's people coming to know the Lord. Man, we are out there planting seeds on a daily basis. You know, are they seeds that are going to lead people to the Lord, or are they seeds that are going to lead people away from the Lord? We are doing something today because every believer is sowing something. So what are you planting today in your life? We're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Like I said, we're at the very end, the last chapter of the book of Galatians. And Paul is teaching us about this. And he's done spoke on this once before, you know, slightly, you know, in the verses before this, talking about, you know, living in the spirit and living in the flesh. And what a man sows, a man also reaps. You know, in verse 6, he starts, and love him who taught you the word. Share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us who grow weary in well-doing or doing good for a season, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Lord, we just come before you and just thank you for your word, Lord, how it is here to grow us, Lord, and to show us how we are to live our lives, Lord. Through the power of your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, Lord, you reveal your word to us, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. You know, what you sow, in verse 7, it talks about what you sow, you will also reap. Do not be deceived. Our God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, he also reapeth. There is no escaping the principle of the sowing and the reaping in this passage. God sees everything. Every choice has a return on it. There is return on everything that you do. And God sees everything we do. We can hide things. And we talked about this on Wednesday night with the youth. Because I was a youth one day. I know some of y'all youth can think like, there ain't no way that he was a youth one day. You know, but I was. I was. I was a youth one day. And whenever we are a youth, you know, we don't think the same way as adults think sometimes. Our brains... I'm sorry, you. I'm sure your mom and dad's already told you, but your brain, your frontal lobe, is not totally developed yet. Amen. Some adults' frontal lobe is not totally developed yet. So, but we see, in our youth, you know, they can make decisions in their life that may not be to the best of their interest, you know, because of their frontal lobe is not totally developed. That's the reason that we as parents have to be parents. All right. Even though the kids don't like it. Ain't that right, Barry? Barry? Ain't that right?
Yeah, see, they don't like, I don't know, Brother Jimmy. Don't get me to agree on you on this, because Mama will go home and tell me, you heard what Brother Jimmy said.
So, but we as Christians, you know, we are the same way. We have, our frontal lobe is the Holy Spirit. And he is here to help guide us, and we are to listen to him because he is fully developed. We are not as Christians quite yet fully developed. I love the phrase that says that we are being saved. I was justified at the point of salvation before Jesus Christ. I was covered in his blood. I am safe from the point of salvation, from justification before Christ. But there is something in the second part of our churchy word called sanctification. Sanctification is growing in our relationship with Christ and doing what he asks us to do. And that is something that's hard for us to do sometimes because the flesh wants to take over instead of the spirit. They are fighting against one another. And we read that a few passages ago. They're fighting. And they're going to continue to fight against each other, the flesh and the spirit. But who is going to win? You're feeding one of them. You're sowing to one of them. Which one is it? In your life. And we think, you know, God is not seeing what I'm doing. And I made the illustration, and all of you that went to college can relate probably, that you go to college and mom and dad is not around, and no one's around, no one to know what I'm doing, so I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. Whenever we do that, that can get us in trouble because there is someone that is always there. And it's not mom and dad. And it's not aunt and uncle. It is the Holy Spirit. And he is always there. He is always watching what we're doing. And he is not always sitting there watching what we are doing to condemn us. But it is to bring us to a place where we are living a healthy spiritual life that is for Jesus Christ, not for ourselves. That is the hard thing for us to realize whenever we are wanting and desiring to do the things of the flesh. Because what we are sowing, we are also reaping. There is a supporting verse here that I have in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8. He that sows iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his angel shall fail. So he who sows iniquity, he who sows the bad things in life, he will reap vanity. He will start thinking only about himself or herself. Have any of us ever been there? Better lift it up high. We think about ourselves and we look at ourselves. What is in the best of interest for me? We should ask what is in the best interest for the Lord's kingdom. And what will it produce in our life. That it will go to do something great. That God's kingdom will grow. Imagine a farmer planting corn but expecting watermelons. Y'all ever went out and planted corn and said, man, one day, boy, I'm gonna have me a field full of watermelons. But that's what we do in our lives. We expect one thing, but we're planting something else. We're planting deceit. We're planting the things of the flesh, but we're expecting on Sunday to show up. And man, I am Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual. No, you're not. Because what you plant in the ground is what's growing in the ground. So let us dig that stuff up. Let us dig it up and throw it away. And let us plant, let us sow the things that are of God in our life. And whenever we do that, folks, we will get great blessings. So how foolish would it be for someone to live in sin and expect blessings in their life? And we see this on a daily basis. We see this through people on TV. Oh, just be blessed, man. God's just blessing me. He's just blessing me. And they're out there living in sin. God is not blessing you. Because God is not going to bless someone for living in sin. Man, God is wanting to do something. He's wanting to do something in each individual here this morning. But we have to give over to Him. Because what did it say in verse 7? Because God is not mocked. Our harvest will reflect our seed that we are planting. So God is not mocked. Don't think that you're going to play a trick on God. Don't think that you're going to plant something and say, God will never know what I planted. Because He's going to bless me because of what I've done in my life. God's not going to bless sin, folks. If you want the blessings of God, live for God. Does that mean that we have to be perfect? No. It means that our heart has to be desired to follow after God and do the things of God. And the closer we are to God, the more we do the things of God, the less sin we will have in our life. Because our desires will start to change. Our desires will start going on the spiritual side and not on the fleshly side. Number two is you choose the soil. Which soil are you choosing, the flesh or the spirit? In verse 8, he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What a beautiful passage there, that second part. And I love where we have the buts in God's Word. You know, we have this, but God stepped in. And God did something in our life. And we do not have to live that way because God did something. It's not because of what we did. So it's either, or you either live to please the flesh, self, sin, shortcuts, or the Spirit, God, righteousness, eternity. One leads to decay and the other leads to everlasting life. Can you get to heaven smelling like death? Let's smell like the sweet aroma that God has made us to be. Not decay on ourselves. Romans chapter 6, verse 21 through 22. It says, which fruit had ye then in those things, therefore, or wherefore ye are not ashamed, but now being made free from sin, ye have your fruit into holiness, and the end is everlasting life. So if we've been set free this morning from the life of sin from that moment, you know, that we accepted Christ, and as we demonstrate in baptism, whenever you are baptized, this thing's getting dry rotted, we need to get a little water in it. So, you know, whenever we get in our life and we accept Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We're putting to death the flesh. We're putting to death the flesh, and we're raising a newness of life to walk in the Spirit of God. So what are we feeding today? Whatever you feed is what will follow you. Are you feeding the spirit or are you feeding the flesh? And I'll give this illustration. I think I said it a while ago that I told some of our students at school, you know, that, you know, what is a stray dog? If you feed a stray dog, what is he going to do? He's going to follow you. That's like drama. You feed drama, it's going to follow you throughout your life. I don't care what school you go to. Well, I say, well, if I go to a different school, then all this will stop. No, not if you're the one who is feeding the drama. It's going to follow you. It don't care what school you go to. It don't care, matter what workplace you go to. Drama is going to follow you because you're feeding it. And that's the same way the flesh is. The flesh, if you're feeding the flesh is going to follow you around, and the flesh is going to do what it needs to do and wants to do in your life because you're feeding it. Because it is what is healthy, and it is what is has strength because you're feeding it. What we need to do is starve the flesh. And I'm talking spiritually, not physically. I'm not saying that y'all need to go out and go on a hunger strike. I probably could. But go out and go on a hunger strike. But we need to stop feeding the flesh spiritually in our life. And we need to start feeding the spirit that lives inside of us and make him strong. And when he's strong, he can defeat the spirit or the flesh because he has the strength to do that. Two gardeners grow based on what you feed them, or two gardens grow based on what you feed them. The flesh feeds on pride, or the flesh feeds on pride, on lust, on laziness. The spirit grows on power, the word, and obedience. What are you watering? What are you feeding today in your life? We're feeding something. What is it? So you choose the soil in which you are going to feed. And we looked at it, number one, you know, what the results of that are. You know, so which one are you wanting to feed? We need to make that in our mind, you know, of something that is constant. What am I feeding today? What am I feeding today? When you wake up in the morning, what are you going to feed? Are you going to feed the flesh or are you going to feed the spirit in your life? Are you going to wake up and you're going to be thinking about the things of the Lord? You're going to pray. You're going to read God's word. You're going to go speak to people about the Lord. You're going to worship him. Or are you going to wake up and you're going to think about yourself? What's all about me? How I'm going to get ahead today? How I'm going to stomp on someone's head so I can make it up the ladder of success? What are we going to do today? I tell you, you don't have to step on someone's head to make it up the ladder of success. What you need to do is you need to step on the reins of God's ladder and let God move you up where he wants you. By living according to his word. But we look at this and we think, man, this is hard. It's hard to live by the spirit instead of the flesh, because the flesh is always after me. The flesh is always wanting the upper advantage in my life. It is hard to do this. Always hard to keep doing the right thing. Have any of you ever thought that way? Man, it seems like I'm getting nowhere. Man, I'm getting no recognition. I'm getting nothing in my life because I am always doing the right thing. People are overlooking me because I'm doing the right thing. The first thing is the first word of each of them sentences is I needs to be left out. It needs to be God is feeding me. So don't quit Your harvest is coming. Don't quit in your life because you're doing good. I know it's hard, but God is wanting to do something miraculous in yours. Let's read verse 9 and 10 again. Verse 9, it says, And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. He's saying, don't quit. Don't quit doing good. The harvest is coming, man. You're almost there. It is getting close. And we can see it, you know, in the distance, but it seems like we can never get there. And that is the flesh working on us. But don't quit. Have you ever heard that statement? You know, you get to the end of the game, you know, you're not doing that great, you're not winning, but the coach keeps telling you, don't quit, don't quit. You never know what's going to happen. Don't quit, because quitters don't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Don't be a quitter this morning. Always grow close to Him. Doing good can be hard, especially when results take time. Because we are a society that does not have patience. But God promises a harvest. And I believe I'd rather stand upon God than stand upon this world at any time. Don't give up before it comes. You know, a lot of people are just right on the edge. Man, it's fixing to give you. And then they give up right on the edge. Man, it was almost there. Don't give up on doing good, you know, to people around you. Man, there is a harvest that is going to come. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, you know, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, the Lord shall renew their strength. Man, wait upon Him. Keep going. Keep running. Keep fighting. To be in the fight that God has put you in on this earth. And whenever we do that, there will be a harvest at the end. And you will get that crown of life. And you will look and you will say, thank God. Thank you, God, for not letting me in our society, we have a lot of people that are quitters today. I can't. It's more or less, I won't. I said, I can't is not a word in my classroom. It's not, I have not yet. Because the harvest is coming. And the harvest is coming in your individual life. The harvest is coming in the church. If we would but keep on going. A runner might feel like quitting just before the finish line, but the medal is only for those who finish. You don't get a medal for almost finishing. There is no participation medals in heaven. You know, it's those who finish the race. And we need to be finishing the race, and we need to be finishing it with great vigor. Are we going to be tired? Yes, I was watching a little clip yet last night, and it was these guys, they was running in a cross-country state meet. And these two guys were just right on each other. They were passing each other, and they were fighting for first place. And this one, he crossed the line first, and as soon as he crossed the finish line, he just collapsed because he gave it all he had. That's what we need to do, because you know where we will be collapsing at? In the arms of Jesus. And He will give us the strength to get up and to move forward. Don't stop sowing. Your season is on the way. Don't give up. It's coming. Stay strong for the Lord. And in conclusion, you know, this morning, what are you sowing in your time? Words, money, relationships and thoughts. What are you sowing today in your life? Are you sowing for a harvest? Or are you sowing to quit short? Sow to the Spirit. Every small act matters. Every small deed matters. It may not be a big deal to you, but it may be a big deal for someone else. Someone else just may need a smile. Someone else may just need a, how are you doing today? These small acts of kindness can bring glory to God's kingdom. And don't grow tired. Your harvest is coming. It is coming, folks. We don't know when it is, but I tell you, in the what we see around the world today, in our world today, we see that the harvest is coming sooner and sooner and sooner. It will be here before you know it, folks. Don't quit this morning. Stay strong. And you may be this morning, you have not even entered into the race. I would tell you that you need to enter into the race this morning that God has set before you to be saved, to give your life to Him, and start living in the Spirit and being guided by the Spirit, and He will bless you in your life. All our blessings are not material things. Can God bless us with material things? Yes, He can. But that's the least of His blessings. The most of His blessings is to get to live with eternity with Him. To get to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ here on this earth. Man, we have great blessings here in this earth. Getting to lead someone to Christ is a great blessing that we have here on this earth. So lead people. Guide people. Live in the Spirit. Give your life to the Lord today because He is coming back. And He is coming back soon, whether we are ready or not. Here He comes. You ever heard that? Whenever you playing chase, or you playing, you know, hide and seek, you know, they're sitting there against the pole and they're saying, 1, 2, 3. And they get to 10, they say, ready or not, here I come. That's what God's going to do one day. Ready or not, it's like a thief in the night. He's coming. Whether you're ready or not, I would rather that you be ready today than not, because He can return today. There is nothing that is stopping the Lord from returning to this earth today to get His church and take it home. And I pray that you're ready. I pray that you're living for Him and that you're sowing seeds of faith into people's lives, into your own life, that you are growing in the Spirit, that you're living in the Spirit of God, that He is blessing you, and you're not living in the flesh and feeding the flesh today or tomorrow or the next day. So what is the Lord telling you this morning? What is He calling to you in your life? He may be telling you that you've been feeding the flesh way too long. It's time to come home. It's time to come home and feed the Spirit. To surrender your life back to the Lord. You may have been saved whenever you was a child and you have been living off track. You know that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, that you in the past, that you have been living off track, you've been feeding the flesh for way too long. It's time to come home. It's time to dig that old, them old seeds up, them old plants up, throw them away, and start planting, sowing the good things of God, the things of the Spirit. And if you don't know Him this morning, I just ask that you just give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, that you come to Him, because He is calling you here this morning. He's calling you into salvation. He's drawing you in your heart to come and give your life to Him. So let's all stand as we have a word of prayer. Sing the song of Him. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you have done for us, Lord. Just help us be mindful every day when we wake up, Lord, that we are going to live in the Spirit, Lord. We're going to feed the Spirit today, Lord, and not the things of the flesh. Because what we sow, we also reap, Lord. And we're not hiding anything from you, Lord, that you know each and everything that is going on. Lord, and we know how much you love us, how much you gave for us by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay our penalty for sin, Lord, that I could not pay myself, but your Son paid it for us. Lord, just let us draw to you today. Let your Holy Spirit work in hearts this morning, Lord. Draw where they can't do nothing but accept you this morning and come back to you. In Jesus' name.